Okay, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for just a new day, the first day of the week. We pray, Lord, that you would get us off to a right start. We pray that you would teach us by your Spirit, through your Word, that we may know how to behave ourselves in the world. And we pray, Lord, for the service to come, for Jim, as he opens the Word to us, that you would just give him remembrance of the things he has learned. Bless us in this day that we might praise you more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're looking at Psalm 71 today. And as you notice your outline there, I've titled this, How to Sail Through Old Age, or How to Grow Old Gracefully. Or if you're young, just insert instead of old age, life. How to sail through life graciously. And I think it applies that way to all of us here this morning. Some of us are older than others. I like what Chuck Swindoll said. Maybe you've heard this. He said, these things of growing old, he said, everything hurts. And if it doesn't hurt, it doesn't work. He said, you sit down in a rocking chair and you can't get it going. Your knees buckle, but your belt won't. Your back goes out oftener than you do. You know all the answers, but no one asks the questions. Your little black book contains a lot of phone numbers, but they all end in MD. You guys, yeah. Your favorite newspaper column was written 25 years ago. You burn the midnight oil by 9 p.m. Now, this is getting old, folks. This is what happens when you get old. You burn the midnight oil by 9 p.m. Anything under a quarter isn't worth bending over to pick up. You see a penny or a dime or a nickel, it's gone. You get winded playing checkers. Yeah. Your children begin to look middle-aged. Oh, wow. You're really getting old then. The gleam in your eye is the sun reflecting off your bifocals. You sink your teeth into a nice juicy steak and they stay there. You climb a ladder to reach a shelf, but you forget what you were up there for. That's old age. Psalm 71 is a psalm for seniors, basically, and it really tells us how to prepare for old age. Now, you know what? That's all of us, right? We're all going to get there, and so we need to be prepared for it. And this psalm will tell you more than all the geriatric books ever written about how to grow old gracefully. In fact, I think I have about 15 things here from this psalm that we must do if we want to sail through life, particularly if we want to sail through old age without all the bumps. So it's helpful. Here's what a missionary friend of ours wrote not too long ago. I think we got this letter from her when we were in Montana, and she was meditating on this psalm, Psalm 71. She said this, "Nope, nobody wants to grow old, like nobody wants to be sick. But there it is, inevitable, unless we die first. I am seeing that we are meant to sail through it, though. Making use of His gracious provisions. After all, our destination is just over the rim. Must never let that reality get out of our sight, or we'll get locked into thinking that physical death is the end instead of the means of coming truly into life." I thought that was a good statement. So this psalm is a great psalm for seniors. And it'll mean more to you as you grow older. We don't know who the author was. Possibly David. Many say Jeremiah. I like to think that David wrote it. There are a number of reasons why we should, I think, attribute it to David. It just tells us how we should respond to the challenge of advancing years. Now, Wycliffe Bible Commentary and Derek Kidner and a number of commentators divide this into six divisions. You notice on your outline there, if you got an outline, that We have six divisions that we have divided it in as well. And the first Roman numeral is to put your trust and confidence in the Lord. I'm going to kind of jot a little bit of this up here for you. So if you want to jot it down on your list there, you can. You have this. Put your trust and confidence in the Lord. So verse 1, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. The psalmist tells us a number of ways that we can make our old age a blessing rather than a curse. And he basically says we can really sail through this period of our life through old age if we do a number of things according to this psalm. Remember, if you're young and you're not looking for old age right now, just put, we can sail through life if we do these things. But we can sail through old age if we do these things. And the first one I have here under Roman numeral 1 is to put our trust in the Lord. Number 1. Yes? Thank you. Yeah. I put it up there, so I...
I didn't know what I was doing. Okay.
Put your trust. Steady confidence in the Lord. This is what he says in this first verse. That's the first thing that we need to do if we're going to sail through life in our old age. What that means is not complaining. Did you ever notice seniors have an uncanny ability to complain about all their hurts? And so instead of doing that, when we get old, we're to trust Him. We're to lean on Him for our needs in every way. We're not to trust our own abilities, not to trust our own wealth or health or good looks, in my case, or abilities. That was a joke. But always on the Lord. Trust in Him. Instead of complaining about what's going wrong in our lives. He says, let me never be put to confusion. Now, until you get there, you don't really realize how pertinent that is to old age. Confusion. There's a lot of confusion in old age. And so he writes, Lord, don't let me be put to confusion. Don't let me be put to shame. Don't let me be disgraced. Don't let me be disappointed. All those things are included in this word confusion. What does your new ASV have? Shame? In verse 1. Don't let me be put to shame. It's a prayer we need to ask, we need to make when we approach our senior years. Verse 2. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. So I can. The second number here is that I can sail through life, or I can sail through old age, if I call upon God to deliver me. See, this is something that is a daily practice, a moment by moment. Call upon Him to deliver us and to help us in difficulty. Those are important things. Call on Him. And you know, I'm saying this, and it seems so redundant, and so, you know, we ought to know this, but you know, when we get to these places, we don't often think, we don't often do it. And what do? Well, we pick up the telephone and call somebody, or we consult someone else, but we find it's our last hope to go to the Lord often. Verse 3, by the way, this may be a short lesson today, which you'll be happy to know. It's a long psalm, but you know, knowing me, it may not be short, so don't get your hopes up. Verse 3, be thou my strong habitation. And this is written by a man in his senior years, in his old age. And it's interesting that we think it was David, and he is describing all the things that he's going through, and he's telling how he has managed to go through it, and at the same time be a blessing to others. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. So here's a third way to get through old age. I can sail through old age, or you can put life. If you're not old, you'll get there, friend. I can sail through old age if I continually make Him my rock, make Him my habitation, my refuge. What is a rock? A rock is strong. A rock is huge. A rock is impenetrable. A rock is a place of safety. And the Lord Jesus, of course, is referred to as the rock of our salvation often in the Old and in the New Testament. So I can sail through life if I make Him my rock and my fortress. That is, if I make Him my strength and my protector when I encounter these difficult times in old age. Weakness, illness, whatever it is. Incidentally, I think this is good. The new ASV has my strong refuge and... No, that's the NIV. And the new ASV has a rock of habitation. And the King James has my rock and my fortress. Guess which one of those are literal? The KGB. KJB is not K, not KGB, but the King James Version. Just takes it literally, just like it is. My rock and my fortress. And there are times when you're going to need a fortress, particularly when you approach my age. You approach your later years. All right, here's the second one. Roman numeral number 2. Ask Him to deliver you from wicked men. You see that on your outline there? Verse 4 says, deliver me, the Hebrew is, cause me to escape, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of unrighteous and cruel men. Deliver me from those who would want to hurt me, is what he says. I've been thinking, I don't know, for some reason I've been thinking this week about the nursing home. That's not a happy thought. Did you know that? I don't know how many people die in nursing homes, but it's way up there. And if you've seen these stories on the news and these investigations, have you seen any of these investigations? They're scary, you know. I mean, people just like to help people on their way, you know. And it is scary. And I don't know about you, but I know a number of people, even relatives, who I think, you know, have been helped on their way. So I guess this psalm might be causing me to think about those things. And here's a verse for you when you get there. My wife doesn't want to go. She's gonna visit me. And I say, man, perfect opportunity. You know, you've got a captive audience. You can just share the gospel with them every day and they can't get away from you. And it's really neat. But here's a prayer you can make when you're going through old age so that you can sail through it. And that is, Lord, deliver me from these cruel people who want to hurt me. Give me a way to escape. Pray that. You know what? He'll answer you. He'll deliver you in your old age. Verse 5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. That means it's not a new thing. He has been trusting the Lord all his life and expects him to deliver even in his old age. Verse 6 says, by thee have I been holden up from the womb. From birth, he says, you have strengthened me. I've leaned on you. You've helped me. I've relied on you from birth. My praise shall be continually to thee. So here's a fourth way to sail through life. Recognize that he has kept us, that he has kept you. That's why you're here. That he has kept you through life. And that's a good thing. There are a lot of things that we need to be aware of, and of course they're spoken in God's word. From the womb, he's had guidance through his life. From his mother's womb, from his birth, he has been guarded, realizes that he's been guarded by God, and that he's reached this place simply because God has superintended. Someone said, he who has fed will feed, and he who has led will lead. And that's true. Now look at that last phrase in verse 6. My praise shall be continually to thee. Here's what we need to be in our old age, in fact, at all ages. Thankful. And it will help tremendously to get through life if you're a thankful person. And if you're not a thankful person, work on it and try to be more thankful. Some of us are less thankful than others, and some of us have to work on it more. Look at verse 7. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. So here's the fifth way to sail through life, or to sail through old age. And we ask him to make us a walking wonder. Ask him to make us something other than an old codger, you know? I mean, you can be an old codger, and you've met those kind of people before, but ask him to make you a walking wonder. You know, that's the kind of testimony that God wants us to be. If we can go through old age, somebody said old age isn't for sissies. I kind of believe that now. If you can walk through old age and have a testimony, a thankful spirit, and a joyful countenance and praise, then it's going to make an impact on people. My wife had said.
Yeah, there was a Montana man this week that skydived for the first time on his 94th birthday, and he had so much fun he's going to do it again next year. He was terrible, but he never jumped out of there.
Well, I think I'm probably going to skydive much sooner than that, but in the other direction. So ask him to make you a walking wonder. What would you call that, skydive? Going the other way. Okay. If we really truly do these things, if we trust the Lord, if we lean on Him, if we call upon Him when we're in trouble, when we are needing deliverance, if we make Him our rock and our fortress, if we do all these things, then He'll make us a walking wonder. And particularly if we carry through with the psalm and we follow its direction to the end, then he will make us a walking wonder even in our old age. And that's what we're talking about here, in our old age. Verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with praise, with thy praise, and with thy honor all the day. So a sixth thing when we're old. Learn to praise him in all things. Lord willing, I'm supposed to fill in for Jim next Sunday, and what I hope to speak about is Romans 8:28, and this all things is not just praising him for what happens that is good, not just praising him for things that make me happy, but praising him for things that make me sad. Because he is sovereign, and in his care, all things come into our lives. And so we need to learn as Christians that he is in control, and that whatever comes in our life, whether it's happy or sad, whether it is painful or whatever, that it comes from his hand. Well, that's six, okay? Moving right along here. Verse 8. One translation puts it like this: tell of his goodness or his righteousness, not your own. You know, a lot of people who talk about how many good things they do. Have you ever heard that? You know, they just are full of testimonials as to things that they have done. And, you know, people that they have helped and people they've given money to and all these things. Well, it says that we are to praise him. Our mouth be filled with praise and with thy honor all the day. Tell of his righteousness, not your own. Praise him all the day long, good days and bad days. If you know somebody like that, they're a blessing. You know, in rest homes, I've had the privilege of teaching in many years. There are some folks in there that just make your day. you know, because of their attitude. Not very many, unfortunately, but there are some there that will just make your day because they're joyful. We had a lady in Austin at a rest home now, or was last we heard. She was up here, and she would go bang on doors every Sunday to get all the people she could moved into the hall for the Bible study. And she was just a neat woman. I don't know how old she was, 90. She was old. We've had a number of them like that, and they're just a blessing. So that's the way we need to do. We need to praise Him all the day long. Verse 9. Cast me not off in a time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength fails. So here is number 7. I don't know if you're putting this down, but number 7, you might find a lot more in here. We'll sail through old age, or if you're not considering yourself old, we'll sail through life if we do these things. If we look to Him for strength when our strength fails. You know, housewives can do that. Mothers of twins can do that. Anyone can do that, right? You can look to Him for strength when you feel like you can't go another day. And that's what He wants us to do. And this is what David did, or the writer of this psalm. Cast me not off, he says, in my old age. Forsake me not when strength fails. That is certainly a characteristic of old age. I remember this weekend I mowed the lawn, got the edger going. And I could do it once I had somebody start the lawnmower and start the edger, you know. I just don't have the strength to do those things anymore. I can ride that lawnmower, but I can't start it because you have to pull it to start it. Your strength goes when you get older. It really is interesting. When you get to be about 55 or 60, I don't know if any of y'all are that old, but when you get to be about that age, you know, you even lose balance. I mean, I used to do, you know what a kip-up is? You lay on your back and jump up onto your feet. Yeah. I used to do that. Now I get on my back, I can hardly roll over, much less do a kip-up. And the thing is, when you get 60, I don't know if y'all, any of y'all notice that when you get 60, you lose your balance and you start going over, you can't catch yourself. You just fall flat on your back. What is that? No, I'm just saying that that happens to us when we get older. We get unbalanced in more ways than one. But so here's what we have to do. We have to look to Him for strength to get through the day. Strength to get through the door. Strength to do whatever it is. Your strength fails you. The outer man perishes, the Bible says, but our inner man is renewed day by day. So we need to ask Him not to cast us off, but to give us strength. And He will give it. He'll give us spiritual strength. And if He doesn't give us physical strength, He's going to give us spiritual strength to make it through. That's what we need. Okay, verse 10. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste to help me. So here's another thing. 8. Put away anger. You want to sail through life in a way that pleases God. Put away anger. Put away anger toward your enemies. Put them in God's hands. By the way, that just is saying what the New Testament says over and over, avenge not yourself. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So when we're old, or getting there, we need to put away anger towards our enemies. Verse 13, Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. Now, what kind of a verse is that? Somebody tell me. What kind of a verse is that? Verse 13. Imprecatory. That's an imprecatory verse. It's calling down God's judgment on his enemies. And he can do that, particularly if this is David, because he stands in the stead of God. He is the king of Israel. And those who are his enemies are the enemies of God. And likewise, in the real sense, they are for the believer. Roman numeral number 3, put your hope for the future in the hands of God. Verse 14, but I will hope, and this is emphatic. I think we're going to get out real early this morning because we're pushing on through here. But I will hope. I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. It's just building up to a crescendo in his life. I will yet hope. So here's a ninth thing that we must do if we're going to sail through life. And that is put our hope for the future in God's hands. I mean, what am I going to be tomorrow? Where am I going to be? Am I going to be in that rest home? No, my wife's going to take care of me. God's going to take care of me. So put your hope for the future in God's hands, wherever that may be, wherever that may lead you. Trust in him. He says, I will hope continually. Warren Wiersbe has written this. As we get older, things change. We must drop some things. There are some things we can't do anymore. And we must start other things, like checkers. Not much goes on continually, he says. Except in Psalm 71, David tells us three things that we can continue to do throughout our old age. He says, first of all, we can continually resort to God in prayer. These are three things. When you get too old to do anything else and the jobs that you used to do, you can still pray continually, you can praise continually, and you can hope continually. That's what this psalm says. Praise, pray, praise, and hope. Those are things you can continue to do, no matter how old you are. So that's good to know. And I will yet praise you more and more. Verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the days, for I know not the numbers thereof, of your goodness and the things you've done. So here's a tenth thing that we can do to get through life and to get through old age. And that is to speak continually of his righteousness, not my own, you know what? That is a job. I mean, that's something you have to make yourself do. That's something that you have to take opportunities to do. That's something that when you're with friends, you have to do. And particularly when you get older, you know, instead of talking about your aches and pains, you need to talk about God's righteousness. And this is, of course, what he wants us to do. And we'll sail through old age if we'll do that. 11. Boy, this thing's going fast here. I don't have 100. No, not really. 11. Can I get through that? Verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. So, this word righteousness and strength. So, again, we've talked about this before. We can get through this life if we will meet life in his strength. I don't have strength to do something that I need to do. I don't have strength to do something that I want to do. Lord, give me your strength to do what you want me to do. Give me your strength to do this task, whatever it may be. So if we go through life, we meet life in his strength, not our own. Then we will make it through our old age. Fourth Roman numeral there is live by his word, 17 to 21. Look at verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. That means, where did the psalmist learn about God? Where did he learn about God? I can take a lot of time by doing this, can't I? Put some more time on. Where did he learn about? No, it's easy. It's not a trick question. Where did he learn about God? From the temple, from the priests, from much of the Old Testament was already written. David had revelation from God. And he says, you've taught me. And all of the furnishings of the tabernacle taught Christology and taught things about God that they learned about God through the ministry of the priest, through the Word of God, basically. So here's what he says. You have taught me from my youth. Now, in the Old Testament, God communicated through what? Other than through the prophets, other than through the written testimony, how did he communicate to his people? Special revelation? Yes, in what sense? Where is somebody? Hebrews chapter 1. Is it chapter 1? Verse 1? Somebody want to read that? Get my trusty New American Standard here. Yeah. How about 1:1? Anybody want to read that for us? Okay. He spoke through the prophets in many portions. How did he speak to the prophets? How about dreams and visions? And he spoke audibly to them, right? Often. And so what we're saying in verse 17 is that if we rely on what he has taught us, and particularly in our day, we have so much revelation. We have all the Old and New Testament revelation from God. So we could say the Bible, if we rely on what he has taught us, his truth, his revelation, the Bible, divine viewpoint. I mean, where do we get God's viewpoint? If you're going to sail through life, you have to have God's viewpoint. Particularly when you get in old age, you're going to have God's viewpoint. Where is God's viewpoint found? It's found in the Bible. So this will help you, not only in life, but it will help you in old age, to sail through old age. Look at verse 18. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, and bald-headed. O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Wow. That's a tremendous verse. When you're weak and you're infirm, how do you show the power of God to a generation? I mean, Think about that. And you're weak and infirm, and you have nothing to offer. How do you impact the grandchildren and the children and the coming generation? How do you do that? Prayer? Share the word? You know, the way you meet life, the way you meet problems, the way you meet difficulty is going to impact the coming generation. Your testimony is going to carry them through, in a sense, just the way you meet life. You have no strength physically, but you have spiritual power because you trust the Lord, you rely on Him, and He uses your testimony. You know, years ago, dying used to be a big thing to Christians. Because the whole thing was, in dying, was how they could die in such a way to impact the people who were there, or the people who witnessed their dying. But today we've got all kind of other things. But back before the technology came in where you can help someone and go easily. You know what I mean? Before morphine, let's say. Which unfortunately I'm allergic to. But before morphine, how did people die in a way that would impact their children, their grandchildren, everyone around the bed, everyone who watched them die in the last days of their life? Well, they did it by crying out to God and by calling out to Him to give them His peace and by trusting Him to help them to get through that time. And I tell you, I don't know about you, but I have heard and seen many people die. And I know, I was thinking yesterday of Mom Hartung. You know, she was a blessing every time you went to see her. I mean, you never got anything else. And she was in pain. She was dying. But you never got anything but a blessing. And I've visited so many people who blessed me much more than I could ever bless them by praying or reading the scripture or anything else to them. It was their life. And it was the grace of God that made them able to bear it, to go through death in a joyful way. Wow. You know, if you look back at the martyrs hundreds of years ago, when they were burned at the stake and they were singing hymns as the chains melted into their flesh. When they suffered all kinds of persecution and death at the hands of men, thrown into the lion's den, boiling oil, pour it, whatever it was. And they sang hymns. Who was it? A couple of martyrs in England. Ridley and Chalmers or someone. One said to the other, "Today we'll make such a light in England." They were going to be burned at the stake. That God will honor it. And, you know, to meet death like that is an important thing. We can do it if we do these things that are mentioned in this psalm. If we trust Him. If we cry out to Him. If we ask Him for His strength. If we know His Word and we avail ourselves of His Word and we memorize His Word. It will be helpful to us. Well, where are we? Verse 18. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, yeah, forsake me not, until I've showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. So, when we're old and gray-headed, our job is what? To show His strength. When we're old and weak and infirm and gray-headed, show His strength, show His sufficiency to the grandchildren, to the next generation. I think as Mrs. Billy Graham said, the advantage of growing old is that we can confirm to the younger generation the sufficiency of the promises of God. Because we've been there. We've tested the water. We have trusted Him. We've seen that He can carry us through very difficult times. He can do that. I think of my wife's dad always when I think about it going through. He was an elder in his church in Kansas City when Sue was, what, 9? Your mom died? Your mom died?
Yeah, I don't know if he was elderly, but I wouldn't be surprised.
No. But you were how old?
Barely 8.
Barely 8. And she had a little sister, 7, died with cancer. Had her arm amputated and then died. Another little sister that died in the hospital shortly after birth. Her brother was killed. He was 15. He was killed by a hit-and-run driver a few weeks before we got married. So her dad lost his first wife when Sue was 8, lost 2 daughters before Sue was 9, lost his son, who was the apple of his eye, I think, 15, 2 weeks before we got married. And this man was such a testimony in his life that many people came to the Lord just by watching him go through all of that and how God carried him through all of that. When he was dying in the hospital, I may have told you this, he was 2 weeks to talk. He died of lung cancer, stomach cancer, whatever it was. But he called one of the nurses and he could barely whisper over to his bed. And he said, you know how you put a tomato together after you cut it in two? And he said, no. He said, tomato paste. Anyway, talking about that nurse became a believer through his time in the hospital there. I mean, you know, here he was dying. He was suffering, excruciating. In fact, they say with this cancer, he had you drowned, basically. And there he was making jokes. And I remember my little brother-in-law went to see him, and he was asking him about premillennialism, you know, of all things. He wanted to get that straight before Lee died, you know. And Lee didn't have strength or energy. So his dad, he finally just said, David, take my word for it. Premillennial, that's right. Take my word for it. He couldn't explain it. Anyway, so we can make an impact if we go through life with Him. Verse 19, Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things? O God, who is like unto Thee? Thou which hast shown me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Now, there's something very significant here, I think. And it's this. He attributes both good and evil to God, both good and bad experiences in his life. Good days and bad days. He said, you have given me sore troubles. It came from your hand. Here's what this is, I think. 13. If we recognize the providence of God, in our lives. That is, that God brings everything into our lives. It comes into our lives. And this again, did I mention a while ago, I'm thinking about Romans 8:28 and preaching on the providence of God. That is a great doctrine of the Word of God, and we very seldom hear anything about it. But Romans 8:28 is a key verse concerning that very thing, the providence of God. And so here it is. Recognize the providence of God in our lives. God's involved in the difficulties. He's involved in the suffering. He's involved in every part of our lives. Nothing comes into our lives apart from His will. You have shown me great and sore troubles, He says. You have shown me this. He says, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You know, what could that be a reference to? Yeah, I think so. The resurrection. Ultimately, he's going to bring us up. He's going to rescue us. He's going to renew our strength. But ultimately, he's going to resurrect us. And that's, of course, our hope as Christians. Verse 21. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. So be sure that he will comfort you. This is basically what this says. In your old age, from every side. Now, Roman numeral 5. Make a habit to praise him in all things. Verse 22 through 24 says, I will also praise thee with the Psalter. Even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with a harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. So, I'm not sure all of us, God wants us to sing to him. He wants us to sing with our hearts, I'm sure. And we need to praise him. We used to have a couple of guys that sat on the front row at church years ago when they were in college. I don't know if any of y'all remember them. Yeah, one of them called us last night. He's 55, isn't he? 55 years old. He was here when he was 18, 19. They could not carry a tune. It was impossible for them to do that. And they sang, man, they sang. And it was so funny. Maureen was sitting right behind them. But they sang. Make a joyful noise.
I can sympathize with them.
Yeah.
When I sing in church, my wife is there. She's like, shh,
yeah. I think it must be talking about our heart, that he wants us to sing with our heart, because everyone can't sing that well. But I like that verse says we're to make a joyful noise. I can do that. So here's a 15th, or 14th, I guess. 14th that I've missed here somewhere. Did I give you 14? Recognize God's providence? I missed one somewhere. Well, anyway, here's the last one after verse 24. We will sail through life when we learn to praise him in all things. Have you praised him this morning for the big problem in your life? The biggest problem in your life? It says in all things. We are to praise him. Romans 8:28, again, I think I'll follow the way through here. Who wants to quote that one? Now, you can't live the Christian life. You can't get through life without that one. At least not without a lot of problems and hurts. But what is that? 8:28. You got to know that. I'm not even going to quote it. If you don't know it, you got to look it up, and you need to circle that in your Bible. Of course, it's in context. You got to. The context is suffering in the Christian life. You got to know that verse. You won't make it. Okay, I'm going to say it anyway. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So God, in order for all things to work good in our lives, to work out good, to turn out good, you know what that means? God has to be in control of every little detail in the world, let alone my life, in order to cause everything. Now listen to this. All things work together for good. It doesn't say all things are good. And one translation says, all things work together for good and are fitting into a plan for your good. So everything that comes in your life, however bad you may think it is, God has brought it into your life for good. To work together for good. All things work together for good. All things work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, who is that? Who loves God and who is called according to His purpose? Believers. Every believer. I mean, we love Him because He first loved us. There's no question that we love Him. If he saved your hide from burning hell, you know you love Him. You love Him because He first loved you. That's who it's talking about. It's not talking to somebody who is super spiritual and who is a super, you know, Christian. It's talking about believers. All believers. Sinful believers. Worthless believers. Backslidden believers. I don't know about you, but that's good news for me. It is to all of us. And God is working even your sin together for your good. It says all things, doesn't it? Well, I'm almost through here. In old age, it's my job to talk about His care. We're never too old to encourage others, to build up their faith, to be a blessing to those around us, to grow old graciously and confident and die confidently. To grow old graciously and to die confidently. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Anybody ever hear of him? Great American poet who had a viewpoint of life that was biblical. Here's what he said. And this is to your old people, not to the young people. This to the old people. Shall we sit idly down and say, the night hath come, it is no longer day? The night hath not yet come. By the way, I'm just reading this basically to myself and my wife and a couple others, as far as I can see. Listen to this. Shall we sit idly down and say, the night hath come, it is no longer day? The night hath not come, not yet come. We are not quite cut off from labor by the failing light. Something remains for us to do or dare. Even the oldest tree, some fruit can bear. That's me, isn't it? I think that's good. What it means is that we're important to God down to our last breath. We're important to Him down to the very end. He wants to bless us, and He wants to use us. Okay, let's pray. Ron, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the thoughts that You've given us, that we would turn always to You in times of trouble, in times of old age, in times of stress. Thank You, Lord, that You are our rock and our salvation. We ask You to bless us as we go through the day and through the week, that others might know You through us. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake.
Amen. Okay.
Only for God to be a teacher.